my comfort. In trouble, he's my stay. He tells me every care on him to roll. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. He all my grief has taken, and all my sorrows mourn. Temptation, he's a strong and mighty tower. I have all for him forsaken, and all my idols torn from my heart, and now he keeps me by his power. Satan tempts me so. Through Jesus I so safely reach the goal. He's a lily of the valley, bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. Never, never leave me, nor yet forsake me here. While I live by faith, do his blessed will. A wall of fire about me, he my hungry soul. Then sweeping up to glory, where rivers of light shall ever roll. Oh, he's a lily of the valley, he's a brightest. Time began, my life is in his hands. He knows my name, he knows my every thought. He sees each tear that falls, and he hears me when I call. I have a Father, he calls me his own. He will never leave me, no matter where. He knows my every thought.
cross, and he hears me when I have a maker.
Here today, Brother Rodney Butts asked for prayer for his ex-wife. We still call her Aunt Linda. He's had a massive heart attack last night. He's in St. Francis Hospital in Tulsa. Asked for prayer for her. She's unsaved. She made some steps toward the Lord and went back. And so just want to ask her for her need today. Also want to remember the Hollis in prayer. He's been having trouble with his eyes. He has a cataract in his right eye, but he had some kind of issue with his left eye, and the doctors think he had a stroke in it. The blood flow's not there. They don't expect for him to get his vision back in that eye. So he's got that problem, and then a cataract in the other eye, and still trying to take care of Sister Edna this time. So we want to remember him in prayer. How many would have a need you want to make known to the Lord today? Amen. You believe he knows all about it, and he's more than able for whatever need you have need of. Amen. There's nothing too hard for him. No matter what it is today, whether it be a situation in your family or a situation at work or whatever, he's able, more than able. And we believe he's that kind of God. Let's just go to him in prayer as believers today, taking these knees before the Lord. Amen. Father God, we bow our heads before not a God of stone or a God of wood or a God of jewelry, of gold and silver, but we bow our heads to the one true living God. Lord, we believe that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. We're believers this morning, Lord. We don't pray today out of just a ritual that we have or something that we think that's good to do. But we pray today, Lord, in faith, believing as the words leave our lips, Lord, there's an ear that they fall upon, a God who receives our prayers, a God who answers, a God who knows, and a God who understands. Father, you see the suffering humanity all around us, Lord. Seeing the hands are lifted this morning in this building, God, and we're needy people, Father, but we serve a great God. Lord, we see these needs here that we've read today, Lord, and Brother Hollis, Lord, suffering in his body. God, you created that body. You created those eyeballs. You gave the power to give the sight, Lord, and Satan would kind of come around and try to take the sight from our brother, but Lord, we stand against that this morning. Lord, not with human abilities, but with the blood of Jesus Christ. And Lord, by the power of that blood, the healing virtues of that blood, we call upon it this morning for our brother. And let the healing virtues flow and eyesight be restored. Lord, you say we have not because we ask not, and we ask not because we believe not. But we believe today, therefore we ask and we shall receive. Lord, we ask for our Aunt Linda today, Lord, laying in the hospital, God. Lord, you see her situation, Lord, the coldness of her heart. Lord, the sickness that's in her body, the heart attack, Father. But Lord, worse than the heart, the natural heart's problem, Lord, is a spiritual heart problem, Father. God, will you reach down in this time and have mercy upon her, Father. Lord, that she can find you and find peace in you today, Lord. Salvation in you, Lord. Healing in you, we pray. Lord, we commit this service to your hands, Lord. See our visitors among us. You see those that are not here this morning, many that's gone on vacations, different things. Be with each and every one of us, we pray. Anoint the service, Father. Speak to our hearts, Lord. Change our lives. Lord, anoint your manservant, Father, to minister the word. Lord, you know what we have need of. Let it fall upon good ground today, Father. Ground to receive from you. Ground to, Lord, to get things from the scriptures. Draw strength from it, we pray. Lord, help us take another step towards you, Lord. We're at the end time. We see all the end time signs around us. We know at any moment it's your return, Father. We're in anticipation, looking for your appearing. Lord, we're just waiting to hear that wagon coming down the trail to take us home and get us out of this old evil world, Lord. We love you. We praise you. We glorify your name, Lord. We give you glory and honor. Lord, the different various meetings going on around this world today, Lord, touch each and every one, we pray. Bless your bride everywhere, Father. God, draw us to you. Draw us out of this world into another atmosphere, Lord, to see you face to face. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Have some announcements here. We got our family camp is almost, this Wednesday will be 2 weeks away. And so we're looking forward to that. Been speaking to the various ministers that will be coming. I believe the Lord's got some wonderful things in store. We want to remind you that if you have children that would be age for the VBS, to please sign them up. Also, if you're available to work for that, we try to spread it out to where everybody's not all day, every day, but we kind of have been doing the last few years to get different ones to help. Makes the load a lot easier. If you can do that, please sign up in the library. Also, please pay the fee for the camp, and that would be wonderful. And also, we want to please remind you to check the bulletin board for updates regarding the meals for Saturday work days. So that's the announcements today. Let's just turn around and shake one of his hand. If you have a visitor by you, amen. Turn around and welcome them here. We have a lot out this morning. Amen. For various reasons. I know some have went to meetings. Some have went to just have a time of rest. But anyway, we're just glad to be here today to worship our Lord. Amen. Let's sing that song, Blessed Be the Name of the Lord. The name of the Lord's a strong tower. Amen. Ask your brothers to take up the offering this morning. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Most High. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Most High. is high. The name of the Lord's a strong tower. Name of the Lord, a strong tower. Oh, the righteous run into it, and they are saved. Oh, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. All the righteous run into it, and they are saved. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Yes. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Most high, the name of the Lord. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. Oh, yeah, they are saved. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. All the righteous run into it. They are. Jesus is the name of the Lord. Oh, Jesus is the name of the Lord. Jesus is the name of the Lord. Jesus is the name of the Lord. Yes. Oh, Jesus is the name of the Lord. Jesus is the name of the Lord. Jesus is the name of the Lord. Most high, the name of the Lord, the name of the Lord, a strong tower. Oh, yes, a strong tower. They are saved. Amen. We'll let you be seated this morning. Also, there is Sunday school choir practice right after church. So if you can remember that, amen. Down at the cross where my Savior died, downward for cleansing from sin, I cried. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name, Lord. The blood applied. Yeah. ask Brother Tim Winters to bring a special this morning. Amen. Let's sing. Oh, glory to His name. His glory to His wonderful name. And there to my heart was a blood applied. Glory to one more time. Oh, glory to His name. Glory to His wonderful name. There to my heart was a blood.
There are some things I may not know. Oh, and there are some places I cannot go. Oh, but I am sure of this one thing.
House gathered in His name to worship. lift up holy hands.
Oh, let us lift up holy hands.
And I believe. Freedom is here. Freedom. This morning, hallelujah, is here, yes, Jesus, and I receive it. Yes, Jesus is here, it's here. Oh, Jesus. Jesus is here. Yeah. This morning, but just worship the Lord in your own way. This morning, just worship Him.
Oh, and I,
so I lift my hands,
so I lift my hands to the heavens. I lift my
in you. One more time, I lift my hands.
I lift my hands to the heaven. I lift my eyes where my help comes from. I look to you, my God, my
Father, as we bow before your throne of grace today, we want to thank you for that grace, Lord, by which we have been set free. The favor of God that moved on our behalf. And we want to thank you that you're here today, ever living to make intercession on our behalf today. Lord, that your blood atones, and that through that blood that there is healing and deliverance. Salvation and power. Lord, we're looking to you today because we believe, Lord, that goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our life. We believe, Lord, that even today that goodness and mercy is on the trail of our loved ones, of those that are in need, reaching out and overtaking, bringing them back to a place of safety. We ask, Lord, for your grace today that you would anoint us by your Spirit. Lord, that you'd anoint the ears of the hearer and lift us up above the shadows of unbelief and cause us, Lord, to believe every divine promise of God. Lord, we thank you for these that have assembled here today. Lord, you know the ones that are away and not able to be with us today and traveling or on vacation or taking a few days rest away somewhere, coming up, going apart, Lord, from us to other places. We ask, Lord, your grace would be upon them as well. I ask, Lord, as this message reaches out over the internet to many different various countries around the world, Lord, that you'll encourage your bride and you'll cause her to take her stand. We ask, Lord, that you'll give us faith today to believe every promise, to bring healing, Lord, to bring deliverance in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, as we read the scripture, open up the eyes of our understanding, and may we be refreshed in the presence of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. Amen. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 5. We're going to read from verse 1. We just welcome you today in the wonderful name of the Lord Jesus. We count it a privilege to be serving the Lord today, don't we? Amen. It's His grace, His mercy, and His love to us. And we thank Him for all that He has done. Amen. Good to see each one of you that has gathered today. It's Memorial Day weekend. And many are traveling, going here or there, or with family, friends, or whatever. But we're here today to remember our Lord Jesus, amen, and to worship together and love the Lord together. So turn with me to Galatians 5 and 1. We'll read from there, and then Ephesians 2:11. So Galatians 5 and 1, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. And then Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11. We'll read from there. Wherefore, remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off were made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one and broken down the middle wall, a partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in the ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. And therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. Well, this is Memorial Day weekend, and it's a day of remembrance. As we pass around by all of the different churches, we will see different slogans on their marquees as they remember the soldiers who fought for the freedoms that we have now enjoy, and we certainly appreciate the liberties that we have in our country, and we know that the world would be a very different place had not men stepped up and donned the garments of war. And there are men who have went down in history, having given their life for their country. I think of in moments like this, men like Nathan Hale, who being hung without a trial was supposed to have said, "I only regret that I have but one life to give for my country." But I want to pause this moment and remember the greatest of all warriors, the hero of all heroes, when God took on human battles and gave his life for our freedom to deliver all of men from the slavery of sin. And you and I today are free men and women because of the life that he gave, and because that he won the battle over death and hell and the grave, and the battle over sin to give us the great victory that we have in Christ Jesus. So today, when we as a nation stops and they're making their memorials, I want us to remember the greatest warrior that ever walked the face of the earth, when God himself became the great hero, taking on the battle of human beings. It would be said in the book of Isaiah, "For unto us a son is born, unto us a child is given, and his name shall be called Wonderful, the Counselor, the Mighty God, the Prince of Peace, the Everlasting Father. And of his rule and government there would be no end." It is that word in that describes him as the Mighty God in that passage of Scripture that is spoke of, not calling him here the Almighty, though he's called that later in the Scripture in other places, and particularly in Revelation chapter 1, that he is the Almighty God. But this Son would become the warrior God. That's what it means by the Mighty God. It's the Mighty El, or the El Gibor, which is in the Hebrew word, which means the God, the warrior. And it was where that God would come and take on human battles. He would come to fight your battles, come to your aid. I think of that today as many of the deaths of the men and women across the America has not been for their own account, for their own freedom, but for freedom of others in the world. But this one took on a battle that was not his at all, but it was our battle, and he became a human to take on that battle. And so as we look at this morning, we remember this, and I'm just going to entitle this part of His Blood, My Freedom. That's what we're going to entitle that this morning. His Blood, My Freedom. I'm glad for His freedom that we have through Him this morning. Before the fall, there was no need of blood. Man fellowshiped with God and had a oneness with God. Adam was created to be free. He was not created to be enslaved by sin and be subject to sin's bondage. But he was created to be free. He had a fellowship with God as an offspring of God, as a son of God. And he enjoyed complete freedom. But there came a separation or a chasm, we would call it, between God and man. When man fell, he fell and into a great chasm. And that fall continues even to this day, because mankind is not only a fallen man, but he is a falling man. He continues to fall. You know, every person is born in this world by their first birth a sinner. And so they're fallen people to begin with by our first birth. This is why we were born needing a Savior and a Redeemer. But however, you know, as things goes along, as our life progresses, it doesn't get any better. It gets worse that man continues to fall. His nature in a fallen condition, and then he's born that way, and then the older that he gets, the more he falls, the further down he goes. He falls into this great chasm on down and down and down until mankind continues to go, until now we're seeing the very spirits of the lost, all the depths of Satan actually coming into this dimension. This is spoke of in the Bible as hell enlarging its mouth. It enlarging its gates because it has to receive the many, the millions that are going into it. And this dimension becomes so enlarged until actually we're seeing Satan's kingdom start here, being set here upon the earth. Till this age becomes Satan's Eden, until it's the very hellhole of Satan himself. And there's not a lot of good future immediately for the world, because just as soon as the bride of Christ leaves from here, Satan is cast down, and he becomes full king of the earth. The Bible said, having great wrath, knowing he hath but a short time. This short time could be described as 3.5 years is laid out in the book of Revelation, where that he will have complete dominion over the earth and even over the earth's economy and the earth itself, upon the governments of the world. And to the point that the Bible says that all will worship the beast, except those whose names are in the book of life of the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. So there will be the whole world wandering after the beast and worshiping the beast. And there will be the enforcing of his mark, where that no man can buy or sell except those who have the name or the number of his name and have given their right hand of fellowship to it, or have sold their mind to it. Hence the mark in the hand and the mark in the head, forehead. But again, you know, it's the awfulness of that chasm is getting deeper and deeper as man continues to fall into sin and into the slavery of sin. Because of the fall, there was a distance now between a man, speaking particularly of Adam, and of God. Because of the fall, there was no longer the nearness between God and man. But now there was a distance between God and man because their fellowship was broken. Before the fall, Adam could walk freely into God's presence at any time and was always welcome there. But after the fall, his sin put a distance between God and man. You can easily understand that just in a human relationship. You let some little wrong take place, something where someone wrongs you or does something bad, and even though it's not, it has never even been spoken between you, there's this feeling of distance between you and that person. This is exactly what Adam felt when God came down to fellowship as he had done since man's creation and come down to walk in the cool of the garden or in the cool of the day in the garden. And his sin had put a strain in the relationship. It put a distance between God and man. And when you even look at the Old Covenant, you see that dispensation, it was not one of true nearness. Even though it was a covenant, an agreement between God and man, but it was still not a true nearness. It was more of a distance. Even with Israel, who was God's chosen people, yet there were people who were nearer to God than any other race of people upon the earth. And that's so different than the way it was with us Gentiles, because we were far away from God. Being heathen, we had no standards. We had no morals. We had no law to tell us what was right or what was wrong. We just lived as beasts without a sense of moral guidance. The Jews, on the other hand, were a chosen people that God chose to draw nigh to him, but yet, even in their drawing nigh, there was always that part of distance that kept them and God apart because of the shackles of sin. And Moses, if you think of Moses for a moment, a man that in the Old Testament was so nigh to God, but yet when God appeared to Moses, his servant, he was stopped immediately as he drew near to the pillar of fire. And he was commanded, draw not nigh hither, but put off thy shoes from off thy feet. Because even though he was a prophet, and even though he was under the blood of animal sacrifices, and even though he was of the seed of Abraham, there was only a certain approach that he could make. Because of sin, he could only go so far that when God showed himself even upon Mount Sinai to his own chosen that were separated unto him, yet one of his first commands was, thou shalt set bounds around the mountain and let no man approach. And if a beast or a man would approach unto that mountain, let him be stoned. For there was only so far that he could come because his sin separated him from God. And even when you examine the worship that they had with the tabernacle, the temple worship, there was a distance that was always there as well. The mass of the people did not enter into the outer court of the temple. They didn't even enter there. There was then the inner court, and nobody but the priests might intrude into that court. And then there was the innermost place, which was the holiest of holies. And, only the high priest, the priest of the priest, or the high priest, could go in there, and only once a year. And even in doing that, he must offer blood for himself and then for the people. And the people themselves could not come into the holiest of holies because there was a chasm, there was a separation. Sin had separated them between them and God. And there was this gulf between God and man. Even there, you know, he would use examples, certain examples in the scripture, such as those who in the congregation of Israel who would be have a problem of leprosy. It seemed that this being the type of sin, or pattern of sin, that sin was so detestable to God that he must treat men like lepers without the camp. They couldn't make an approach to him. Even when he would come near, he made them feel that distance, that width of separation between a holy God and an impure sinner. And since the fall, there has always been this great chasm between man and God. And because of that, this gulf between God and man, it was impassable. No one could cross over. No man could pass the chasm and go into the presence of God. Once he was driven out of the garden, he could not come back, even though the way of the tree of life was guarded by a flaming fire and cherubims with a sword of fire to keep them from making an approach. And this represents the great void or the great abyss or that great chasm that stood between man and God. I want you to understand, it was impossible to, because of sin, because of now being subservient and a slave and owned by Satan himself, that man could not approach the Almighty God. Now, but I want you to understand, we're living in a different time and a different day, because now is a day of mercy. This is a day that we can celebrate, a real Memorial Day, when we realize that the chasm between God and man has been crossed, and that when man could not do it, God crossed it himself in order to bring man back to fellowship and to bring him from that slavery back to sonship again. Amen. It's the very heart of God to bring reconciliation. It is the very heart of God to reach down to the lowest of sinner and to elevate them back to sonship. Amen. To take them from the bondage of slavery and make free men and women out of them, where that they're no longer slaves to sins but can be the sons and daughters of the living God. But if we go back into the Old Testament again and just think about his throne was a judgment seat. And the only reason that it's not a judgment seat today is because it is a mercy seat. That judgment seat has been sprinkled with blood. An atonement has been made. And because of that, you know, in order to meet that justice and to meet that judgment, something had to die. And as long as the blood is on the mercy seat, it showed that something had died to hold that judgment back. Amen. But I'm just going to tell you today, friends, when the bride of Christ is raptured, when the church is gone, the mercy seat becomes a judgment seat. So now it is a time of mercy, but it won't always be a time of mercy. It is now, while the opportunity for nearness is there, that every man ought to draw nigh to God. It is that even today that we ought to have one thing in our heart about coming to church. And it is that I might draw nigh to thee, Almighty God. That I might come to know you in a greater way. That I might enter into that fellowship, not as strangers, but as citizens of the kingdom. Even more, and as just a citizen and him being the king, but him being the king and you and I being royal blood, sons and daughters of God who are invited into his presence. What a privilege we have today. to be invited into his presence. Amen. That there is the sanctuary, the judge on the judge on the seat in the sanctuary, having become our attorney, our mediator, making a way for us to come in God's presence. But what will happen when it comes to time like the judgment seat in the sanctuary becomes full of smoke? When there's no longer a blood to atone, that the only thing that he will recognize in that day is whether or not the blood has been applied. Because that will be the only thing that will appease an almighty God to pay the sin debt of man. Now, you know, Adam and Eve, they tried religion. They did their part to try to make a covering. Religion means a covering. So, you know, they when they realized they had sinned, they made a covering. And they hid the parts that they had sinned with fig leaves. And so, therefore, they covered their parts of their bodies, and they walked out. Now listen, but everything that Adam had made, it could not cover the sin that he had committed. Amen. And but it's just as good as any Methodist or Baptist or Presbyterian or Pentecostal can make. It only covered their nakedness, but God could see right through it. You see it. So he had to do something. He had to do something more than man-made religion to fix the problem. Amen. He had to do something more than the fig leaves that man wants to make by making his own religion. And that is that he took the skins of an animal that he slayed and he covered it with them. Blood had to take the place of covering. And that took the place of the fig leaves that would stay God's wrath. And when God saw the blood, because this is what he said, the day you eat thereof, that day you die. And when God saw the blood, he backed off his justice. And he stood there and gave them a conference in mercy. Amen. Because why? Something had temporarily atoned for them. And he saw the blood. Something had died in their place. And there's only one blood today that he will back off from. And that's the blood of his own son. When he sees his own son's blood, he will back off. That's the only thing that will withhold judgment from you, is the blood of Jesus Christ. Nothing else can you hide behind. Your good works, you cannot hide behind. Your church attendance won't save you. Amen. Your good works, your good deeds, all of these things may be all right in their place, but none of that will give you an audience with God. There is only one thing that will give you an audience with God, and that is for you to accept the blood offering of Jesus Christ. That brings you into his presence, and only that can make you ready. But oh, one day men will have to stand before the white throne judgment. But oh, if you have received your judgment in Christ, where he was wounded for your transgression, and he was bruised for your iniquity, and he became your sacrifice. If you have received that, you won't be at the white throne judgment being judged. But you have passed from judgment into life. Amen. But oh, I can hear Brother Branham say when he looks toward that white throne judgment, he said, oh, brother, don't let me stand there. Let me stand before a machine gun. Let me be cut to pieces. Let me be sawed inch by inch. Let anything happen, as the oath of the Knights of Columbus says, let them split open my belly and burn sulfur and everything else in me, and my arms and legs be cut off, whatever it may be, but never let me stand at the white throne judgment of God. Let me take this little throne, this one of mercy, before the seat of Christ and accept his blood. Now, as we think of this morning, I want you to understand, even when Moses made the mercy seat, it was made so that cherubims would hover over it. It was made a table of gold,
And then these cherubims was made and put over, angels spreading their wings, hovering over the mercy seat. And it showed that they were, the mercy seat itself was guarded. And it shows that every scallywag cannot come there and take of that. You've got to be prepared before you come into the presence of it. There's something there that's got to be presented. You just cannot go and approach this throne without there being an atonement made. Something that settled the sin's debt. Now, today we live in a world where all of creation is under expectation and is waiting for the manifestation or the revealing of sons of God. Not the revealing of human, but the revealing of sons. And those that are sons of God, sonship. But again, son is a relationship. There is not a distance. There is no separation. There is no bond. There is a unity. And this is what God desires for you today, is to bring every man in the relationship of sonship. Not so much servanthood, not to become another slave, but rather a place of sonship where there is a relationship between you and God, a restored fellowship that you like you should have had before the fall took place. This is what God wants for everyone. Sure, we are servants of God. Sure, we serve Him. We serve Him because we love Him. We do things for Him because of our gratitude for what He did. But our relationship to Him is not one of a servant or a slave, but our relationship to Him is one of a son, a daughter of God. And that produces a nearness between us and God, a relationship that servanthood could never produce. Oh, there are many today that are serving God. They're servants, and I've got to do this, and I'm going to do my good works, and I'm going to try to do what's right. But God wants to do more for you than to bring you into some servanthood. He wants to bring you into sonship, where that you and God are all on a basis of fellowship, where that you are of the same race, you are of the same kind, you are of the same species, you are of the same life, you are of the same power, you are everything that He is, because He's Father and you're son or daughter. This is what God wants. This is His desire for everyone. Romans chapter 8, verse 19. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestations of the sons of God. The world is waiting for sons to be revealed. That's what this word manifestation means. It means apocalypse or revelation. So God, all the earnest expectation of the world, of all creation, is waiting for the manifestation, the revealing of sons. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of Him who subjected the same in hope, because the creature itself shall be delivered from the bondage or slavery of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. This is the hope of the world. This world that we live in did not sin itself to cause the world to come in this evil, horrible, wretched, fallen condition. It was man, the king of the earth, that sinned. And he sold it out into slavery. But I want you to understand, the whole creation is looking for the day when the whole battle will completely be won. Amen. And the world itself will be brought back into the glorious liberty of the sons of God. But not only is the world waiting on that, we still are here in these bodies. And we are looking for the day, the hour, the time where we will no longer be subject to corruption. Where we will no longer be subject to pain and sorrow and trouble of this life. But as I said Wednesday night, remember, they're all temporary. You are here in time just for a moment. But you are eternal. You were with God in the mind of God before the world began. And you will be here when all the time is over with. When sin and death and hell is all put in the lake of fire. And Satan is burned. And he is no more. You will still be here. You will still be shouting in the realms of glory. You will still be the ones overcoming, the victorious one. You will be a part of that freedom march on that day, in that great memorial day ahead, when all the saints are gathered home and you are gathered with them for that triumphant celebration. You have been marked. You have been called. You have been ordained to be a part of that great celebration. Paul tells us that creation is groaning because it is in this fallen condition and it continues to fall. You have been saved and your fall of a downward path has been broken. Some of you, all of us should be grieved in our hearts for loved ones, for friends who continue to fall. But even there, we look away from that for a moment. We look at our own flesh and our own flesh being earth. It is under the curse. And no matter what you do, no matter how much medicine you put into it, no matter how many sea minerals, no matter how many pyramid schemes, With the latest cure-all, no matter whatever you want to put into this body, it continues to fall. It seems like it's a bottomless pit. You know, there just seems to be no end to its fall until finally the body goes back to the grave and goes back to dust again, and these bodies are groaning. So as Paul would say, though we were redeemed within our soul, our bodies, being a part of this creation, still groan. Brother Branham would say in the message, The Breach, did you ever notice how a tree struggles for life? It wants to live. Did you ever notice an animal, how in death it struggles? You notice a human being, everything, nature is groaning. We in ourselves are groaning. We know there's something wrong. We see these verses that something has been lost, both to man and earth. And creation of all type has lost something. But we see from this inspired word that it's groaning for some reason. And you don't groan unless there's a reason for it. As he is saying, all creation is groaning. And it's all the results of a fallen world. It is the result of a fallen nature. It's a fallen creation. He would continue saying, now something is lost and it's groaning. It's trying to get back to its original condition. Would you imagine something falling from the earth down into a deep pit somewhere and was struggling, climbing, pulling? They must by some means get out of this pit. They're not in their original state. Frantically, they're screaming. They're clawing the walls. They're making a noise. They're doing something. They're groaning because they want to get back to their original state. And that's the state of this present world. That is the state of our nations. That is the state of our morals. That is the state of everything around us. It's all sinking sand. Paul would would say in the book of Hebrews that every kingdom that can be shaken will be shaken. And we are seeing all around us the shaking of the kingdoms. We're seeing everywhere sin abounding and getting worse because it falls deeper into the pit, the chasm, falling and falling. Our bodies are falling, as I said. Look at our body in this fallen condition. It doesn't take long until it's pulled back to the earth. It's falling and falling and falling. I was thinking, as I was looking at some pictures yesterday, Sister Rachel Shaw was showing me a brother, Earl Williams. And I remember him a strong man. I remember him running his wells and drilling the water wells in Arizona. Hard worker. Every day out there, not a lazy bone in his body. A provider for his family. A strong man. And then just see, you know, what the years has done for him. It's taken him and pulled him down in a little withered condition where he looked like just a little rag doll of humanity laying upon a bed and struggling for breath and struggling to eat and struggling for life. You know, it's the condition that every person comes to. This world is that we live in with this body, it's falling, it's falling, it's falling. But when you think about the soul of man, we know that we were all born in a fallen condition. You might have started out rather innocently, but the first thing you're attracted here, you're pulled there, and first thing you know, you just start this downward fall. And because there was none of us that was born saved. Then our very lives as it was begins this fall, and we start turning head over heels as we head downward. And this is why, church, that as a bunch of believers, we need to so desperately to preach a gospel of deliverance. Because of those that are lost are in this fallen condition, and they will continue to fall, but there has to be a hope of freedom. There has to be a hope of salvation. And you know, in that condition, you can vow, I will try to change. I'm going to be a better man or a better woman. I will quit this. I will live a reformed life. But unless there's a hand of deliverance that reaches out and catches you, unless that you begin to cry out and say, God, help me, I'm a sinner, you're going to continue to fall. You know, you can watch it with even young people starting on the cradle roll in a church and being taught right and raised in a good home and instructed right and everything. But again, unless they come to the place that they realize, I need a Savior. I might have been born in a good family. I might have had good parents. They may have taught me some good things. But I can't help but fall. I am continually falling. It's easy to look over there and say, oh, that young person or that person, they're not living right. They're not doing nothing. They're wrong here. They're dressing wrong here. And certainly, I think as parents, even as a pastor, we have to preach holiness. We still have to tell them what's right and what's wrong. Amen. We have to still preach that makeup is so that, and you can read it yourself. They're not ashamed about it. The psychologists will even testify of it. I know. I read it yesterday. Mr. or Miss Google can teach you about anything you want. Amen. You don't even have to be a psychologist yourself to be able to read their reports. But they know why women wear makeup. They know it is for sexual attraction. They know that blush on the cheeks is to attract man because that it is a sign that they are ovulating. They know that the red lips will attract more men at a bar than women without it. They know the eyes there are painted for a reason and for a purpose. And that is to because there's an emptiness on the inside. And they're hiding. They have to put on another face to hide the face of sin. And yet that face only is crying out of the sin on the inside. It cannot hide the real darkness that is really on the inside and the insecurity. So they have to put on another face to hide their insecurity. And their own realization of their imperfections. And I'm telling you, all the makeup in the world will not hide the imperfection. There's only one thing that will hide your imperfection, and that's the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And certainly as parents, we have to cry out against immoral dressing. Why do they put them down in skin tight clothes? Why is it that they put them today showing their nakedness? Why is it? It is because of to attract the male. But I just want to say to you girls, you don't even want the boys that kind of life will attract. You don't even want that kind of a man. He'll never make a good husband. He'll never make a provider. He will never bring morals in your home. He will leave the whole home in a fallen condition. But the only way that you're ever going to get a boy that will ever lead you in righteousness is for you to turn to Jesus Christ and become a woman that a boy like that could make a home with. And in regardless of all the preaching, the teaching, they'll go right on around that. You will continue to sin even though you know it's wrong. And even though you know that sin is harmful and destructive to your body, and destructive to bring hurt to your family, you are in this fallen condition as humanity, and you will continue to fall. Because this is the condition of man as he fell from the garden. Man continued falling from that point. He started on a path of falling and falling and falling as into a very deep chasm. And finally, we reach it where that all the sins of all the ages are heaped up in the generations. And finally comes down to a point of where hell is upon the earth. But before Satan can finally completely take over, God has promised an escape. There are going to be those who will escape the things that are coming upon the earth. Because once that Satan has his kingdom here, God will pour out his wrath upon it. And the vials of judgment will be stored, that have been stored up will be poured out upon the earth. And the world will go into a tribulation where even the sun and the moon and the stars and everything will rebel against the sin on the earth. And that the earth will go into a complete frenzy until its life is wiped out on it. And we come back as the saints of God with Christ to come back in the millennial reign, walking on the ashes of the wicked. You can make a choice this morning. You can either choose, I want to be one of those triumphant ones on that Memorial Day, or you can choose to be the ashes under our feet. Because the choice is yours. In other words, I'm telling you on this Memorial Day, you can decide what army you want to belong to. You have the choice between two suppers. You have the choice between the wedding supper, the marriage supper of the Lamb, or the supper of our great God. Because according to Revelation 19, He will invite the fowls of the air to eat the bodies of the slain. And He invites them to come to my supper. So to turn down the supper of the great King of glory is to take the supper of God, where that He calls for the birds to come pick the flesh. You say, why? Why, Brother Jim? Why would this God do this? I'll tell you why. It's because there are two armies in the world. There are two in the world, and you either have the leader of God or you have Abaddon as your leader. Apollyon or Abaddon or whatever name you want to call him, Lucifer, that old great serpent called the devil and Satan. And you belong to one of those armies or the other. And I've got news for you. If you're part of that army, we're going to defeat you. Because our King, with His saints, will come back and take this world over again. Amen. This world has no future as it is. The only future it has is when the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords comes back to triumphantly reign over the earth. And I tell you, I'm a part of that kingdom this morning, and I'm glad to be in that army. But before that time, if you should cross this dimension to go into another, and you have not accepted the atoning blood of Jesus Christ, where He died for you, and you refuse to accept His pardon, His favor, His grace, wait a minute. He's not going to send you to hell. No, you're going to send yourself there. You will walk over every promise God made. You will stomp in the face every word your holy and righteous parents put before you. You will slap and scorn and reject every righteous sermon preached by a righteous son of God. You will do this to make your own way to hell. He won't send anybody there. You will send yourself there. But I tell you what He will do. He will take you to heaven. Amen. Because you can't do that on your own. Somebody help me preach now. You cannot go to heaven on your own. So He came down to make a way. To be the sin bearer, to make the way where you can go to heaven. Amen. To break it down, when a man has a nightmare, you know, he's neither asleep nor awake. He's between sleep and awake. Makes a horrible shaking and screaming because he's not asleep, he's not awake. And it shows it's the way that a man conditioned when he dies unconverted. He's lived his time on earth. So he's dead on earth. But he can't go in the presence of God because he ain't fit to go there without the blood. and he's caught. So he can't come back to earth. His time is finished here. And he's caught between, so it's like a nightmare. And he stays there till the day of judgment. Well, that's at least 1,000 years. Because the white throne isn't there till. Can you imagine being a wandering soul out in darkness, still falling and falling and falling for thousands of years? This is what happens if a soul doesn't find its rest. If it isn't caught and taken back across the chasm, then when you leave here, you go to a place where there is no blood. And then you just continue as a drifting soul to the day of judgment. What a horrible thing it is to die without Christ. That's why you don't want to spend another day wondering. You want to make your call and election sure because you can see the physical. Oh, yeah. Amen. Come on, you just look at your physical body. It's fallen. Well, then what about man's spiritual life? You know, Brother Branham would talk about his own son. And you know, it doesn't really matter if we're children of a prophet or a preacher or a deacon or a church official or righteous man. We're all born lost. We're all born needing a Savior. Brother Branham talked about his own son, Billy. You know, here he's out doing what he can for God. Doing everything that he can, day and night in prayer lines. 8 days and nights, they kept him. Catch a few minutes sleep and back in the prayer line. Pull him away to feed him a minute and back, start the prayer line again. 8 days and nights. So the man had mental exhaustion. In the time his young son, his own mother, Billy's mother, Brother Branham's wife, had died. He's married again, so he had stepmom, Sister Mita. And during that time, you know, he had to leave him. He was in school. Young teenage boy, he started to slip around smoking cigarettes. Now, wait a minute. I just want to say something to you. Sometimes you parents take a lot of whippings for your kids. Sometimes we need whippings. Sometimes we should have done things different. Somebody said to me one time, Brother Tim, I think it is because of your service to God and your dedication. You gave your heart to him when you was 5 and you started preaching when you was 15 and, you know, you've just been sold out to him. I really think that God gave you your children because of your service to the Lord. And I said, you think so? Yeah, I do. I said, I don't. I said, I know of men and women that's given greater service, and their children didn't serve God. I said, if I could put it to one thing, why my children are serving God, it's all because of grace. Wasn't because I did everything right. It wasn't because that, you know, I was the perfect parents and we had the perfect home and we did everything right. No. It wasn't because my kids were perfect kids. It was because of grace. That's all I can say. So none of us have a right to throw rocks at somebody else. Amen. You do the best you can with him. And he's doing the best he could. And he said he was out
found out he was out smoking cigarettes and things. Billy came home one day and said, "How you getting along, Daddy?" And he said, when he did, a vision popped over his head. And he said, "Come here, Billy, I want to talk to you." "So what is it, Daddy?" He said, "What are you doing smoking cigarettes?" He said, "Ha, I'm not smoking." I said, "Don't you lie to me, Billy." And he started crying. So, "Well, I won't do it no more. And he went on out, but he kept on doing it. And he wasn't hiding it. He couldn't hide it. God seen the vision. The Lord showed that Billy had disobeyed me. And he said, "I saw him in a vision. And I saw him that he had jumped out of a window and was laughing, going laughing, head over heels like that through eternity, going over and over and over." If that's not a good description of sin, because that's exactly what people do. You know, they come up to a certain age and you can teach them right and wrong, but a lot of them will just jump right out into the abyss. And you know it's a bottomless pit. They start this, then they start that, then they start this, and then they start that, and they just start tumbling over and over and over and over and over. And he said, "I saw him in a vision, and I came out of the vision screaming, 'Oh, God, don't take my boy. He's the only boy of God. You know, don't take him, Lord.' And I'm screaming to the top of my voice." Now, listen, church. Sometimes the only thing we have left is intercession. Talking to Billy, what didn't change it? Seeing a vision over his head didn't change it. Telling him it was wrong didn't change it. A good talking to didn't change it. And he even saw his condition, and the vision didn't change it. The vision only showed the condition. Are you with me? Amen. And so the only thing he had left was intercession. Committal to God. And sometimes, let me tell you, friend, that's the only thing. I mean, all your talking to everything else, nothing worked. Amen. Maybe there should have been some talkings at the right time. Maybe there should have been some training at the right time. Maybe there should have. But then you get to the point, all these woulda, coulda, shouldas can't fix nothing. You know, Brother Branham could have said, "Well, I should have taken him with me. I should have had him sleeping in a motel with me. I should have done this. I should not have left him at home. I should not." But all the woulda, coulda, shouldas didn't change the situation. There was only one thing that was going to change the situation, and that was screaming out to the top of his voice, "God, that's my boy. Save my child, no matter what it takes. Get him out of that slavery, God. Somehow or another, send the warrior. Send an army. Send all of heaven. Bring heaven down. My child is lost." That's what we need, is praying men and women. That's what we need, is people in the desperate hour. Call on God. Billy fell into some water and he caught a cold. So he went to the doctor, and the doctor gave him a shot of penicillin, and he was dying from a reaction. Now I want you to see something. He calls to God for his son, and his son, in response to that prayer, comes into a terrible condition. Things get worse. Supernaturally, Brother Branham was called to his side. He said, "I was out with some brothers. We was out traveling out." And he said, "The voice of God spoke to me and said, go call Billy." So I called my mom, he said, who had a phone. Remember? Those days, everybody didn't have a phone. I called her, said, "We've been trying to, for hours to get a hold of you." I said, "We couldn't get you. Billy's dying." He's way out on a trip somewhere. But God reached out because God cares. God reaches out for you because God cared. God will reach out for your children because God cares. God will save your husband, your wife, your situation, whatever it is that you're in, because God cares. Are you with me now? He's a God that understands what it is for a son to be estranged from him, for a daughter, for something to come and put a gap between them. He understands. He's a God who understands human suffering. He knows what it is. He had a prodigal son. Here, 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 here. And he said, "I got to his bedside." Said his eyes were swelled shut. His lips was breaking, busting open. The doctor came in and said, "Billy, I've killed your boy. I didn't know he was allergic to penicillin. I gave him penicillin, and he's dying." He said, "Doc, Billy's got away from God." He said, "Let me just go talk to him a minute." And he shakes him, said, "Daddy, I'm glad you're here. Pray for me." He said, "No, Billy, you did the sinning. You do the praying. It's time you turn to God. You're in a desperate situation. The doc says you're dying." And he began to pray, call on God. Billy did, and Brother Branham knelt down beside his bed. And he said, "All of a sudden, I saw that vision come back again." And he said, "I saw my boy tumbling and falling and falling and falling and falling, just like I had in the vision. And then all of a sudden," he said, "I saw two big arms come and reach and catch him like this and started bearing him back up again." Amen. It was the hand of God that broke that fall. Those of you that are saved today, you know exactly what it was. Amen. It was the hand of God that reached out and broke that fall. You couldn't help yourself. Amen. Some of you were headed to prison. All of us was headed to hell. Amen. Life wasn't getting any better. It was only getting worse from here. A lot of times you say, "What more could happen?" Well, a lot more can happen because you're falling and falling and falling. But oh my, that's where a church, that's where a people, that's where parents ought to begin to call on God. Amen. For the scene to change, for hands to reach out and to catch our loved ones that are falling. Amen. Maybe you know you were in that condition. Maybe you were laughing. Maybe you were even scorning. But there was a God rich in mercy that reached out and broke your fall and caught you. That arm of salvation is strong. Amen. It is the power of salvation. It's the power of deliverance. It's the power that'll break any fall. Hallelujah. What a hope that ought to give us today. Amen. That there is a power. You say, "But Brother Tim, my child's in addiction, my child's on meth, my child's in this condition, I've made a lot of mistakes." Friends, quit taking the whipping for it and quit taking a beating for it and get on your knees and go to calling out on God, because only He can break that fall. And
I'll tell you, I don't know what condition you might be in this morning, but if you're in that kind of condition, falling and falling and falling, and you're making promises, I'll do better, I'll try again, I'll do better, I'll make a vow, I'll make a promise, I'll join a church, I'll clean myself up. Let me tell you, you cannot stop that fall. There is only one that can stop that fall, and that's a God rich in mercy who will reach his hands out. But I ain't but 13 or 12. You're at the age of accountability. You're at the ripe age for the devil to get a hold of you and try to destroy your life and fill you so full of complexes. Mar you. But I'll never do. I hate what they did. My siblings, they were stupid. You'll be exactly the same stupid. It's the depravity of man. Brother Branham saw his own self as a young man sinking into endless eternity. He'd been shot as a young boy, wasn't a Christian. The only thing he could say he'd never done was he said, I never committed adultery. That's the only thing, the only plea he had. You know, that's the only thing. He tried about every other thing. Let me just say, we know he didn't smoke or drink or defile his body like that. But it goes to show you something. No matter how kept you've been, you're still in a fallen condition, needing a Savior. And he said, first I was like going down through clouds, down through darkness, sinking on down and down. Finally, I got into the regions of the lost. And there I screamed and I looked and there was just no foundation. I could never stop falling. For eternity it looked like I was going to fall. There was just no stopping it. And he said, I screamed for my daddy. Of course, he's a kid. That's what he would do, scream for his daddy. Daddy wasn't there. If daddy had been there, he couldn't have helped him. Scream for my mother. Somebody catch me. There was no mother there. I was just going. I screamed for God. And he says, there was no God there. You can cross a line where there is no God there anymore. And he said, as I began to fall, he says, like a new arrival in this place. The most mournful sound I'd ever heard. We're describing a sinner now, where he goes to when he dies. There's no burning hell yet. People are not cast in the lake of fire until after the judgment. Where the burning, where it is now, it's called a bottomless pit. Which without Christ, I've done showed you, you're already in it. It just gets worse. Once you cross this dimension, it only just gets worse. Now listen, church, I'm just going to say something. None of these visions was ever wrong. This is the same prophet who time after time, after time, after time, after time, not once or twice, not a good luck thing, not a just a chance, but service after service after service, that there after preaching the message, God come along and vindicate it. And every one of those visions were absolutely true. You can listen to too many tapes where people will, your name is so-and-so. It might be, your name is, and this just comes to my mind, your name is Miss Taylor. That's the truth. You're from such and such town. That's right. You hear their affirmation. There's nobody ever said, no, you're wrong. You missed it there. We're talking about vision after vision. This vision I'm talking about is absolutely true. Yes, that when you leave from here, this is the condition of the falling soul. And he said, even a literal burning hell or fire would be a pleasure upside what that was. And I heard a noise. It sounded like some kind of a haunted fair. And I looked, and there he said they had green stuff on their eyes, under their eyes, and their eyes looked like run back, like the women paint their eyes and run back, and they're just their eyes and face, and they were going, And I just screamed out, oh God, have mercy upon me. Have mercy upon me. Where are you? If you only let me go back and live, I promise you to be a good boy. And that's the only thing I could say. I promise I'll be a good boy. I said, God, have mercy to me. If you just only let me go back, because he said, I knew there was a God somewhere. And so help me, those weary creatures. I'd just been a new arrival. And the most hideous, horrible, ungodly feeling. Look like big eyes, big eyelashes out like that. Run back like a cat. Back like this and green stuff like it cankered or something. So you with your big long eyelashes. And all that mascara in it. And all that thickener in it. And all of that face that you're putting on to hide your insecurity and your sin. It ain't hiding nothing. You are announcing to every person, you are tumbling and falling and falling and falling. And there is no limit to where you're going to go. If I was going to look like something, I wouldn't look like hell. Looked like I would want to model something of holiness and decency, not advertise to everybody that I'm in hell. Because that's where you are. Your life is a hell. And you think we're trying to make you do something. We're trying to save you from this slavery and this hell that you're in. We're trying to rescue a drowning soul. And you're headed for the waterfall, and it'll only get worse. And there ain't a person in here that's ever been out there that would not stand up and tell you, you don't want to go there. I was there, and I was rescued. You don't want to go there. Do you hear what I'm saying this morning? There ain't a person here that's ever been out there to say, don't go that direction. Don't take that path. Don't go that way. It's only misery and heartache and trouble. There is an ark of safety. There is a place of mercy. There is a place of grace. There is a blood. There is one who can atone. There is a warrior that you can call to your side this morning and say, Almighty God, come, I need help. I'm drowning, I'm dying, I'm lost in sin, and I need a Savior. And today could be the greatest Memorial Day you would ever have. Hallelujah. It'll be a celebration day all the rest of your life that sin was conquered in my life. Darkness was covered, conquered by the mighty conqueror who came to my aid. To continue turning it down, your heart can become so hard. Until you can see your mother's soul fry in hell like a pancake and laugh at it. If I were you, I would not waste one more day. I would not fall another moment. I would not twist over another turn. I would not do one of those things without crying out, God, have mercy on me. I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. Let's
the musicians come. There's someone who could break your fall this morning. There's one who can be the warrior who will stand up for you in your battle. You don't have to keep falling. I wandered far away from God. Now I'm coming home. I wish the whole world was here to hear this sermon, but you're the one here. You, if you're in a fallen condition on this Memorial Day, to call out to Jesus. Would there be some men and women here that begin just to call on God right now? Would there be some parents that would start calling? Would somebody believe it enough that would they scream out like Brother Branham seeing in that vision his son? Go in that condition and say, God, save my boy. Save my girl. Save my loved one. The Holy Spirit calls for you to come. The altars are open. I'm not going to beg you. It's your decision. If I persuade you, somebody else will persuade you different. Let the Holy Spirit speak to your heart. God bless you. Little Katie, tender heart to God. Would there be somebody else? Amen. There comes another. Would there be another right now? Well, I'm coming home. What about you, backslid? You just kind of been dilly-dallying around. Isn't it time for you to come home? Come on. Don't hide behind your fig leaf of religion. Come get behind the blood. I will have spoken tongues and prophesied. I'll tell you, if your life isn't right with God, you need the Holy Ghost in your life. I don't care how much you jump up and down, spoken tongues. Invite him to come. Amen. Let him break your fall. Would there be another this morning? Well, I'm coming. Come on, here's a mom and dad. They want to dedicate their lives again. Amen. There's plenty of room on this side over here. Just walk right over here. There's right over there. Come on. There'd be another there that would just come. Come open wide thine arm of love. Amen. Would there be somebody else? Say, I've kind of been in a backslid condition. I haven't been where I ought to be with God. And my life has just been falling and falling apart. Isn't it time for you to come home? You've got lukewarm and cold in your spirit. He's calling you this morning. Amen. He's calling you. I
you're praying for someone else's loved one. Amen. God's moving on behalf of yours. There's somebody else. Come on. Some others that we just want to come pray with these around the altar here. Amen.
Soul, I feel the cold.
and I know His Spirit's within. To give my all, speaks to me, and I agree. Lord, please come and stay. Line and pray. He is calling me to live a higher praise. There's a deep call to the deep, like a great magnet pulling me. Jesus, Jesus. And make me whole. I need you now. Oh, your spirit now. Lord, I seek you. Help me find you. How I need. I need your touch, Lord. Find my dry hands, broken places, thirsty for your love. Lord, forgive me if I wander far away from you.
Peace. Came to the earth.
Thank you for the grace to still call lives, Lord. The word that sets a sinner free. Thank you for the anointing that breaks the yoke, Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how we love you. Thank you for our children. Thank you for saving them, Father. Thank you for your mercy that endureth forever. Your mercies are new every morning, Lord. How we praise you, oh God. How we worship you, Lord. How we thank you, Lord. Jesus, there's none like you, Father. We can call on you in a time of trouble. We can rest in your promises. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for all your great words, Lord, of eternal life. How we praise you, Lord. How we magnify your name, Lord. How we glorify your name, Father. There's truly none that deserves the glory and the honor like you do, Lord. We thank you, Father.